Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome and good afternoon. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm here with Tom and Sean. And how are you guys doing?
Well, doing good over here. And?
Doing great over here.
Okay. Okay. You guys are like, you know, hello. All right. Well, if you are just tuning in right now, we're starting a really great show here on AM 1590 KVTA every Saturday from 6 to 7 in the morning. We've got our wake up, start your day in a positive way. And then, of course, this show, 2 o'clock. And, you know, it's all about adding value every day in every way and living our lives at our fullest and highest potential and knowing that we are perfect the way we are. I mean, that's really what it's all about. So I do want to say a little shout out to a bunch of our winners last week. That is Jerry and Dory and Kathy and Susan. And so if you hear, we've got giveaways today. We've got a pair of tickets to The Haunting Through the Harbor, and that's coming up. And we've got a pair of tickets to The Taste for the Chambers, and we've got some Sharky's tickets. So definitely write this number down at 805-419-0008. Yeah, Sean.
Also, I was going to say, I didn't get a chance to make it out to the Moore Park Beer Festival, but if anyone, any of our listeners had a chance to snap some shots of that, post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm curious to see what that was all about.
Yeah, I was actually in New Orleans. I'm telling you, it was its own party out there.
It's Mardi Gras every day.
Mardi Gras every day, yeah, I'm telling you. Anyways, well, I'm really excited to talk with our guest today. And our first one is Joel Furman, Dr. Joel Furman. I have his book. You know, this is almost scary. When you buy his book and then a couple friends give you his book, okay, that it's like I always take that as a sign. But his book is Eat to Live, the amazing nutrient rich program for fast and sustained weight loss. And so I'm really excited. We're going to talk with Joel. And then we've got the editor of the Weight Watchers Ultimate Chicken Cookbook. And then we're going to be talking with Marie Ross about the life-changing, her book, A Brain Injury, and how she changed the, you know, who she is. So anyways, I do want to give out our phone number here again, 805-419-0008. If you have anything that you want to spread the word about in the 805, give us a call, that number, or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow. If you are on Facebook, like our page. That's how you know what's going on. We always post our shows right afterwards, so you can listen there. You can also go to my website at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Again, I want to welcome you to The Kim Pagano Show, and let's get started. Joel, are you there? Dr. Joel Furman.
I am. I'm here. Excited to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you so much. What a privilege to have you on. Love your book. And just tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm sure so many people know you and know your name. You've been on Dr. Oz. You've been all over the place. And, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, I've been in medical practice for 25 years now. I'm a physician specializing in nutrition, a family physician specializing in nutrition, a nutritional researcher. And I've written 7 books. And I have my own television show on PBS TV where I teach nutrition. Mm. And you know, it's been a tremendous experience because literally thousands of people have lost more than 100 pounds. And the stories I get, you know, because nutritional excellence when taking to the, you know, to the high levels that I espouse is most effective not just to prevent heart attacks and strokes and cancer, but also to work therapeutically to reverse disease, to reverse diabetes, to get rid of heart disease, to lower your blood pressure without medications, to get rid of your headaches, fibromyalgia, and autoimmune conditions. So nutrition is powerful, and the American diet is essentially deadly. And we can talk about how most of the problems in this country, everything from emotional disorders to criminal behavior and poor economic success, boils down to poor nutritional choices as a major contributor. But the but of course my Eat to Live book was my best-selling book. However, the Eat to Live cookbook just came out last week.
I didn't get mine yet. Okay.
Yeah, so the Eat to Live cookbook is a new book, just came out this week, so that's what I thought this show was about.
Okay, we like to eat to cook.
Yeah. Okay. Eat to cookbook, and already I just found out last night it's already reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list the first week it's been out.
Congratulations.
So it's doing really great.
Congratulations. Thank
you. And the key is to show people that to live without the risk of heart attacks and strokes, to win the war on cancer, doesn't mean we have to sacrifice good taste and pleasure. It means we can enhance our life with wonderful, great-tasting food that tastes good or better than conventional foods, and that's really what this is all about, showing people that you can marry pleasure and good health together.
Now, Joel, a lot of our eating habits are how we were raised and whatnot. Did you grow up in a household that ate relatively healthy food, or did you come about this? What was your journey to this sort of lifestyle?
Epiphany, yeah. What made you...
It's a good question. I was on the world figure skating team in the early 1970s, and I was competing, internationally in world competitions in pair skating with my sister. And we always I was reading nutritional books and health books just to better stamina and training and not get sick so we wouldn't miss training. So it just became a hobby of mine as a teenager to read health and nutrition books. And I can remember when I was, at a party when I was young, speaking to a young woman telling me she's going to go to medical school, and I'm saying, what do you want to go to medical school for? Doctors give toxic drugs it's like hitting your hand with a hammer every day, and doctors try to give you a drug to take away the pain while you continue to hit your hand with a hammer. So back then I even knew that, that the medical profession was going in a completely wrong direction and actually causing tremendous harm to our population because we're dying of diseases that are nutritional ignorance. And this woman said to me, this young woman who was going to medical school said to me, why don't you go to medical school? You're so passionate about this, and you can change medicine from the inside out. And so I actually married that woman. She's now been married for 30 years.
I like that. Okay.
I went back and got my, I already graduated from college then, but I went back to the postgraduate pre-med course at Columbia and then went to the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. And really, so I actually... went to medical school with the prior intent to be a specialist in nutrition and nutritional researcher and family doctor in this field. So, and it's really been tremendously rewarding. I'm so thrilled that I actually made that decision back then 30 years ago.
I love it. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Dr. Joel Fuhrman, and his book is Eat to Live Cookbook, correct? And I didn't get that one yet, but I'm really excited to hear about that. But here's my question is, I have high blood pressure, and I have pills that I take. And I always say, how can I get off of them? How can I get off of them? Because to me, I don't want to be reliant on a medication. And I exercise, I do all that. But what is it? What's your thought on that?
Well, can I say right now that I guarantee you wouldn't need blood pressure medications anymore?
Really?
If you follow my nutritarian diet. When I tell people that nobody has to have a heart attack or a stroke, and I back it up and I say, you have to achieve it, and this is the way you will achieve this guarantee never to have a heart attack or a stroke or get demented, is because you're going to have a normal blood pressure without the use of medication your whole life. You're going to have a normal cholesterol without medication. You're going to have normal glucose levels and a normal body weight, and you're going to have normal parameters and have normal exercise tolerance. In other words, in order to be truly protected, you have to have reached normal parameters without the need for medications. Once you're taking medications, that's like a permission slip to continue the causative factors that caused the problem to begin with, and inevitably the condition advances. And if we never had medications, then we have to really work on what is the problem, what's the issue, why did this develop? I'm saying that the body, that high blood pressure is not the consequence of aging. It's the consequence of dietary choices that create ill health. And so, I hope I have the opportunity to educate you about what this is all about and how you can get your blood vessels back, bring back their elasticity and bring back correct sympathetic tone and get you back in great health again, and, of course, get you off the medications. Sometimes people are off these blood pressure medications in a week or two in following a nutritarian diet.
Wow, I love that. I did also have a text of somebody that said that they were diagnosed with diabetes, okay, but their numbers are really low. They haven't changed anything, and yet their numbers are starting to get higher. What's your thought on that?
Well, you might not be aware, but I wrote a book that came out last year called The End of Diabetes.
Mm.
and it gives my whole program, so type 2 diabetics, because most of the medications given for type 2 diabetes causes weight gain and accelerates the diabetes. The COURAGE study showed that when people are given better medical care and more monitoring of their blood sugars with more, you know, closer medications, finger sticks, it actually accelerates the cause of death, and the people become more diabetic, gain weight, and it's actually worse for them. And I'm explaining the reason why is because the medications are pushing the failing pancreas to work that's already overworked to work even harder, and eventually the beta cells poop out even faster, and that the medications are not the answer to diabetes either. So you can say that I'm like an anti-medic, I'm not an anti-doctor doctor, but really all doctors, I don't like to call this, you know, alternative or any kind of medication, because really this is the type of medication, the type of care all doctors should be practicing. Nutrition should be the first line of defense. And only emergency care or when people fail nutritional intervention should they go to medications. Medications are all toxic. Some of the blood pressure medications are linked to cancer. They're linked to increased cardiac arrhythmias. It's in order to get the systolic number down to the favorable range, they push the diastolic too low, and you don't get the blood reflowing to the heart adequately during the during diastole. So people aren't, it's not explained to them the risks and potentially damaging and hurtful effects of the medications. They just have this, like, unwavering belief system that whatever your doctor does is the right thing and you're supposed to be taking drugs for the rest of your life.
I totally agree with you. And you know what? I mean, you hear on TV, just, you know, if you take this, all these things that could go wrong. Really, why would you want to take it other than that you think that you're at risk, so you have to take it?
Oh, you're talking about all the side effects that they list off very quickly.
Yes. Oh, my God. Are those crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even with Tom Hanks being, you know, coming out with type 2 diabetes, it's in the news a lot lately. And I heard just recently someone, a doctor, a nutritionist doctor, saying kind of exactly what you're saying, Dr. Furman, that ultimately with the right diet, he could reverse the diabetes that he's...
Right. And, I've done studies on that, and I've published a book on it, and I have three books that actually... Now I have four books that have hit the New York Times bestseller list.
Congratulations. And Superimmune,
yeah, the fourth book was actually, I found out yesterday. The first, of course, book was Eat to Live, which was... And then Superimmunity, which is about not getting cancer. And The End of Diabetes actually is still the number one book on the diabetes market and was on the New York Times bestseller list. And now, of course, the Eat to Live cookbook. But, you know, this is a positive message. And that message is that these diseases that afflict almost all Americans, because almost everybody over the age of 60 is on medication, and these diseases that kill Americans, heart disease, stroke, and the major causes of cancer, don't have to be in your future if you choose not to be. And I want, you know, if you want to, like, smoke cigarettes and you want to eat a breast cancer-causing diet, go ahead and take your chances. But if you want not, but at least people should know that they don't have to have those things happen to them. And if they know the food, I call it the G-bombs. The G-bomb stands for, you know, G-B-O-M-B-S, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. And we can look at any one of those factors and discuss how powerful they are at arming the immune system and fighting cancer within the body. And the interesting thing is, the same foods that enable the body to defeat cancer, the same foods that prevent cancer, are foods that say, no way, Jose, I'm not going to let you store fat on my body. So these foods have anti-angiogenesis effects. They resist fat storage. They resist bringing nutrients and calories and oxygen to the fat cells. They don't let them get perfused to grow. And so the American people trying to exercise more isn't working. Trying to cut back on calories isn't working. We have to change the quality of what we eat and start eating foods that have the therapeutic, that have the phytochemicals and phytonutrients with those therapeutic benefits that are designed for our system, and then these problems will all melt away.
Dr. Furman, what sort of recipes are we going to find in your Live to Eat cookbook or Eat to Live cookbook?
Right. Well, all types of recipes. And the fun thing was that, you know, I've come up with millions of little runs of recipes over the years, and some of those recipes that I've come up with and other members on my website who are, you know, clients and readers have submitted, and they're voted on and rated by these members, and you can see which recipes get the most scores. And then I've used some of those with the highest rated recipes over the years, but I've had contributions in this cookbook from nutritarian chefs, some world-class and celebrity chefs around the country who've converted their restaurants or some of the dishes in their restaurant to a nutritarian diet. Like, for example, Chef Hunt at Nourish Cafe at Google headquarters.
So, Dr. Furman, never heard of nutritarian. How did you say nutritarian?
Nutritarian.
Yeah, what is that?
It's the, you know, it describes this diet style, nutritarian. It's a word I coined. I made up the word.
Because, I like it.
Yeah, thank you. It means a diet with a high nutrient density.
Okay.
A diet that's designed to, you know, they say you are what you eat.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, people think you can just put anything in the body and not pay a price. And obviously you pay a price and you actually, and foods have therapeutic effects. I remember when my daughter, Kara, was 4 years old. She's 19 now. She said to me, don't these parents love their children? And I said, of course they love their children. She said, why are they feeding them junk food that hurts their body? And I said, they don't know what we know. They don't know that what you eat makes your cells and determines whether you have a healthy body or not. She looked at me like it was crazy, and she said, what? They don't know that what you eat makes your body? How could they be so stupid?
So, you know, like, so Dr. Furman, I would like to spend the rest of the show with talking about you, and I know that you don't have that much time, but give us some really, like, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What should we be eating?
Well, you know, I tell everybody to put a big sign in the refrigerator that says the salad is the main dish.
Mm.
Because once a day, I want them to have a big bowl of raw vegetables.
Okay.
I want lettuce and, you know, maybe some cruciferous on top, like a shredded cabbage or kale. I want some red onion in there. I want tomatoes. And then the key here is the type of dressing you use on the salad.
Mm.
So I want the dressing to contain nuts or seeds because they protect against cancer and heart disease and dementia. But in any case, and they facilitate the absorption of the phytochemicals. So it might be like a tomato sauce with roasted garlic and sun-dried tomatoes, maybe with some fig vinegar and some almond butter mixed in. You know, it would be a nice, delicious dressing on that salad.
Is that all in your book?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll make a fruity salad with like some navel oranges blended with some cashews and toasted sesame seeds and lemon and a little blood orange vinegar. Might be really tasty on that salad. Maybe I'll give you a nice dessert. Maybe I'll have an Asian stir-fry with a peanut butter, apricot, ginger sauce. And maybe for dessert, I'll give you a nice piece of like a homemade bean brownie made with almond butter and beans and a little date to sweeten it. Or maybe a slice of a pie made, you know, or a coconut cream pie made with shredded carrots and beets and apples.
Okay, so now that we are so, my mouth's watering, I'm telling you. You know, what's your thought on milk?
Well, milk is designed to have a cow increase its weight by 40-fold in the first year of life. So it has a lot of growth hormone, and it raises IGF-1, which is insulin-like growth hormone in the body. And IGF-1 is one of the major promoters of breast cancer and prostate cancer. So you know how years ago we used to think when we were kids, they used to teach us the four basic food groups, like eating more high biological protein was important, and why we should eat more animal products. And now we know that the last 3 or 4 years, the science on this is not controversial, and that is more animal protein in the diet raises IGF-1 to higher levels, promoting breast cancer. So the idea that people were going to, like, egg whites and chicken without the skin and all this stuff, and it's actually the mixture. When you have, like, a burger or macaroni and cheese or spaghetti and meatballs, when you put the white flour to raise insulin with a slice of meat or to raise IGF-1, that combination between IGF-1 and insulin-like growth factor 1 have, of course, body cell replicative, they have cell proliferation effects promoting cancer. So the key here is obviously to not eat much dairy and to keep animal products down to low levels of a condiment in your diet, like less than 10%. The American diet is 52% of calories from processed foods right now and 30% from animal products. And less than 5% of calories come from colorful fruits and vegetables. In other words, if you took white potato out of the diet, the fruit and vegetable intake in America would be close to 4%. So we really got to change these ratios or completely on their head and having people eating more than 90% of natural plant food, cutting processed foods to very low levels that are out of the diet, and putting animal products to, you know, down to a very low level. So you could do a nutritarian diet on a vegan diet or a little bit of animal products, but you can't push up animal products to a high level and still get the type of protection against cancer we're talking about here.
So, wow. Okay, I mean, that was like, okay, that's what I've heard, and you just nailed it right there. What about sugar? I know that we're almost at the end of our thing, but what's your thought on sugar? Is that another one?
Yes. Sugar and white flour, all sweeteners, even honey. You know, when you rush a sugar load into your bloodstream so quickly, it spurs an insulin response. And it's these high spikes in insulin that have growth-promoting, fat storage effects, and cancer-promoting effects. When you eat fruit, when you eat sugar from fruit, the glycemic load, the pectins and the fibers, make it be absorbed more slowly, and then it doesn't really promote so much insulin. It's absorbed, it's put to work without as much insulin response. So you could say that glycemic load does make a difference, and that we're talking here about that your diet has to be nutritionally complete and rich in antioxidants and phytochemicals, and it also has to not promote those hormones like insulin and IGF-1 that can promote disease. So all those factors have to be present in an excellent diet.
Wow. Okay. Where do we find your book?
Well, hopefully everywhere now. I mean,
there you go,
I just heard it's in Costco. It's in all these stores, so it's all over the place now.
All right.
And, of course, people can come to my website to learn more information, which is drfuhrman.com,
okay.
D-R-F-U-H-R-M-A-N.com.
All right. It's so enjoyed talking to you.
We could spend a whole show on
Dr. Furman. Yeah, a world of wealth. I'd love to have you back to talk more. Again, Dr. Furman and Eat to Live Cookbook. Can't wait to get mine. And I just think it's a way of life. That's what we need to think of it, is a way of life.
Exactly. We all have to. That's right. Not just for the sick people. Everybody should be eating this way.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Joel. I really appreciate it. Love to have you back again.
Oh, I'd love to. Just get in touch and we'll do it again.
You got it. Very good. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about more food. Weight Watchers, the ultimate chicken cookbook. Everyone loves chicken, and so we've got some really great recipes. Right now, I'd love to give away a pair of tickets to The Haunting at the Harbor. So let's take caller number 4 at 805-419-0008. And again, I want to remind everybody, Surfaces USA, 30% off all of October, and so many great deals there.
Yeah, I'd like to just say that they are very, very competitive with their pricing. My parents, they have a rental property that they have to constantly be redoing their surfaces. Great quotes out of that place.
Yeah, really
Surfaces
good.
USA.
So really good people, too. Anyways, check them out. Surfaces USA right here in Oxnard, 805-604-1568. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
I love your kitchen and your bathroom and your floors. Who did it?
Surfaces USA, right here in Oxnard. I went in and told them what I wanted, and they did the whole thing from beginning to end.
Call Surfaces USA today to set an appointment for a free consultation with one of their experienced interior designers at 604-1568. You still have time. Getting ready to start your fall home improvements? Shop locally at Surfaces USA in Oxnard, 380 South Lombard Street, just south of Camino del Sol. Everything you need for home improvement. Amazing floors, bathroom tiles, kitchen counters, outdoor pavers 30% off, and marble and granite for a limited time. Over 37,000 square feet of inventory and design. They are the industry leader in latest styles and trends. Surfaces USA carries more material in stock than the local Lowe's or Home Depot and all tile stores combined. Call them at 604-1568. That's 604-1568. Or go to surfacesusa.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Sean and Tom, and our next guest is Nancy Gigliardi. And Nancy, we've talked before, haven't we?
We have, Kim. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and another amazing book. I just love your books, I'm telling you. And you know what? Since I talked to you, I don't know if you know this, but I actually joined Weight Watchers.
Oh.
And I did it online, and it was amazing. My daughter and I, we had a wedding coming up, and we just thought, let's get a little, you know, little of this stuff off of us here. And it really worked. It's. I have to tell you, of all, the word diet doesn't even really sit with me, but when I used to say diet, I would be hungry, you know. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, I mean, if you mess up on one day, there's tomorrow. It's not like you have a whole month. That was what I loved about it. So many of my clients and listeners were like, well, you look really good. What are you doing? Weight Watchers. So I was really excited about that. Anyways, I'm really excited about this Ultimate Chicken Cookbook. Tell us what we can find.
Oh, yeah. And thanks again. Once again, thanks for having me and congratulations. If you've been to Weight Watchers, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners know that, you know, we're the trusted name in weight loss. And if you really get serious about losing weight, you have to come to us because we're going to really give you everything you need to know. And this our Ultimate Chicken Cookbook, our latest cookbook. I think this is one of the real tools that any dieter can use in their weight loss arsenal, if you will. This was a great book to do because we all had great passion for this book because we know that chicken is sort of the go-to ingredient when you're trying to lose weight or trying to eat healthier. So we stepped back and said, all right, if we're in that mode, if we're in that weight loss mode, if we're in that good health mode, what are we going to want to know about chicken? And I like to say that this book, we went beyond the breast.
Really? I like it. I'm looking at just chicken and barley soup. I'm one of those, it could be 100 out, and I still am like, okay, what's the soup that you have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So and if it starts to rain, my kids are like, my mom's making soup.
Getting into soup weather
season
coming up.
And so, everything. Yeah, so I love that. So tell us, what's some of your favorites in this book?
Yeah, I actually have a lot because I'm a real chicken fan, and I really, like you're saying, that soup is your thing, which is great if you're trying to lose weight because,
yes,
you know, some good research shows soup fills you up and you don't need a lot of it, so that's great. But I'm going to be trying this weekend. Here in the Northeast, it is getting a little bit chillier, and pears are in season. So we have, like, a cumin spiced chicken with pears. I'm going to be trying that.
Okay.
I have made the Kung Pao chicken. We have an Asian chicken soup in this book. We have a chicken quesadilla, which I really like as well. What we really wanted to do is we wanted to present the widest variety of possible of chicken recipes. So we're using all parts of the bird. We have a lot of good recipes that showcase thighs and drumsticks, which a lot of people tend to stay away from when they're trying to lose weight because they're looking for that leaner breast. But you really should embrace the legs and the thighs because
that's my favorite, I have to just tell you.
Yeah,
I'm like, can I have all dark meat, please?
Yeah,
you know,
it's better flavor.
Yeah, I'm looking at your spicy oven fried chicken. I just got back from New Orleans, and let me tell you, everything's a little Cajun over there, but that looks amazing. You've got the buttermilk in there and then the hot pepper sauce.
Yeah, and that's a good recipe as well because what we wanted to do was we wanted to take what we considered classic recipes and put our spin on them. And we were trying to, with our recipe developers, we said to them, look, you know, what can we be doing that'll change the technique, change the ingredients, but not change the flavor? And we came pretty darn close in a lot of these recipes to mimic the flavor of some of those classic things. We have a wonderful chicken and dumplings recipe as well that, you know, I mean, what we're trying to do with Weight Watchers, Kim, as you know, is once you're trying to lose weight or just kind of re-educate yourself towards eating healthier, you need to embrace different ideas, different flavors, different ways of cooking as well as eating, because that's going to just keep your palate engaged, if you will.
And you don't feel depleted.
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest key, and that's what was so normal about it, is I could pretty much eat really good, healthy. I mean, I don't know if you just heard our last interview with Dr. Joel Furman, is eating really good. That's what it's about, is having really good food. And so I really thought that that was in line with Weight Watchers. I do want to run by your different chapters. And so you've got the hearty salads.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the sandwiches and wraps,
mm-hmm,
the sustainable soups and stews,
mm-hmm,
and then stir fries,
mm-hmm,
and skillet meals and roasts and bakes and from the grill, slow cookers. Everybody wants to rush out in the morning and get it all done. Just a bite done in 20 minutes. That's one of my favorites right there. And then company favorites and make ahead dishes and then other birds. I love it. I think you just, you know, they nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, what I like to say is we even have a chicken liver recipe in here.
Oh.
Again, you know.
What page is that on?
actually, I don't have that one. I don't have that one actually thumbnailed in my book.
Oh.
But actually, what I want to say is that, you know, we really wanted to say, okay, the chicken is, again, it's the dieter's best friend, but also, too, it's very economical.
Right.
So we really wanted to make sure that we're using all parts of the bird, but also giving ideas in terms of how you live today. So we know the slow cooker is the number one appliance that people are still buying because, to your point, you want to just throw everything in the pot, forget about it, and then come home to have a wonderful dinner.
And a smell that goes all the way through your house. You
right,
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also Just a Bite is a chapter that is our nod to this way that we think people are eating. Not everyone is eating 3 square meals a day.
Right.
And sometimes you just want a little something. So in that chapter, we've given you a lot of different ideas, some hot, some cold, the hearty salads as well. Not everyone is eating full meals. And the idea of a salad for dinner has definitely gained in popularity for so many people as our lives are more on the run, but we want good nutrition.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, we spend so much on our cars and we spend so much on our homes and stuff like that. And here sometimes we don't spend it on ourselves and our bodies. And you know, I mean, how do we expect to keep going? That's what I don't understand. Right?
Well, we're putting cheap fuel into our, yeah, into
we're
our bodies.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I was looking at your Just a Bite. And pretzel coated chicken bites with mustard chipotle sauce. Yum.
Now, is this cookbook gonna for the people who are in the Weight Watchers program? Is it a tool, or do you have to be in the Weight Watchers, or can you get some benefit just from? Is it gonna teach you portion control and some of the Weight Watcher type disciplines as well?
Great question. We really kind of feel this book is inclusive for anybody. If you've gotten to this place where you don't, first of all, know what a portion is anymore, which that's a lot of us, because, you know, things are so skewed, whether it's we're doing takeout or we're going to restaurants. We're a country that we like our value for money, which is great. But by the same token, I mean, at some stage, you have to kind of take control of it. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem and you're going to end up at Weight Watchers. Exactly. Having said that, if you are at Weight Watchers, all these recipes reflect whatever the latest science is, which is what reflects with the Weight Watchers plan. Our latest plan is the 360 plan, which is really about understanding not only the foods you eat and what you're putting in your mouth, but really managing your habits, your everyday habits, your routines, your spaces, your kitchen, the places where you're going to be eating or where you're storing your food. What we want to do with Weight Watchers 360 is make sure that we're covering you, if you will, from 360. This cookbook is one of those tools that we really feel will help you, whether you're following the program at this time in your life or not. And if you're not and you're thinking about getting back, we're hoping this cookbook will give you a little bit of taste of what we do at Weight Watchers and how seriously we take our food and our recipes.
I love it. And, you know, and also for anybody that is just tuning in right now, we're talking about Weight Watchers, the ultimate chicken cookbook. We're talking with Nancy Gagliardi. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. But in this book, you know, it gives you your point plus value, so you can know how much you're eating. That was the biggest thing, you know. Does everybody have 26 points? Is that how it all works?
No. It really depends on a variety of things.
Okay.
So not everyone does. That's generally the lowest.
Okay.
And then you've got your points through the week that you can use as you like. But, you know, what we did a little bit of the thinking for you in this book, too. Like, when we were developing the recipes, we said, okay, what's reasonable for an amount of points for one meal?
Mm.
If it's like kind of an all-in-one entree that maybe has your protein, some veg, and your carb, versus maybe an entree that is just your meat with some veg. And when we thought through, okay, you'll probably pair this with some type of carb, whether it's pasta or good brown rice, a nice whole grain like brown rice. So we tried taking that into an account in terms of how much points plus values were per serving. In addition, we include all the nutrition information with all our recipes, which we know is so important to consumers who are trying to get healthy. And we also tell you what a portion is of each of the of each recipe. So if we're saying it serves six, we're telling you that, you know, if this soup serves six, a cup of it is one portion.
Right.
Then from there, you figure out how you want to use your points plus values every day or through the week. But again, we're there to help you out and guide you and give you as many tools as possible.
You know, Nancy, I find it that so many people go online and they find recipes online and stuff, but there's something still amazing about looking through this amazing book that you guys just made, and the color, the pictures, that I love it.
It's really beautifully laid out.
There's something still about having your own cookbook, you know?
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Yeah.
That makes me happy because, I mean, I agree with you. You can get a lot of recipes online. You can get them from a lot of good sources. You can get them from a lot of not-so-good sources. But what we like to think that we're doing at Weight Watchers is we're curating the recipes for you, and we're in your mindset of where you are right now. And we're also using top recipe developers. You know, we're based in New York City. We have all the best of the best in the world, like, at our disposal. So we have top photographers. We have top food stylists.
Yeah.
Those are the people we're going to help us create these fine recipes and make sure that you're going to get closer to your goals. That's our ultimate goal in all of this. But I do think that, you know, having a go-to cookbook when you're trying to lose weight is a must if you want to succeed.
I agree. And you know what? Thank you so much for making this book again. Nancy, I can't wait to talk to you because I know that will be another cookbook next. Mm-hmm. You know,
now, is
we have a couple
book,
right
is
around the
book
corner.
Is this book just available through Weight Watchers, or is it a book that I can find at Barnes & Noble?
Oh, Amazon? No. This book is available at all retail outlets on Amazon. So, you know, please go check it out, page through it. You'll see that
it's
going to really
beautiful.
Enjoy it.
I'm telling you, to everybody that's listening right now, get your Weight Watcher Ultimate Chicken Cookbook. 250 pages of beautiful pictures, and it's got it all. It's they've done the work for you, so you know. I'm telling you, it's the easiest diet to be on. So I'm like right there. I could be one of your spokesmen right now. Yeah. So, anyways, thank you, Nancy. I love it. Again, I can't wait to start making some of the recipes. And let me know when you get your next one.
Good enough. Thanks so much.
All right. Beth. Thank you. All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And we're going to actually, as I just hit that, we're going to actually move into our next guest, and Maria Ross. She actually had a brain injury. We're going to find out a little bit about who she is. But she's learned how to reboot, which is the name of her book, Rebooting My Brain, How a Freak Aneurysm Reframed My Life. And Maria, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you are so welcome. Tell us a little bit, you know, for my listeners that are just joining us right now, what happened to you?
Well, in 2007, my husband and I had just moved to a new city, and there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, as many of your female listeners can relate. We were just getting used to a new home, new friends, new network, new job. I started my own business, so it was a crazy busy time. And in 2008, I got what I later found out was called a thunderclap headache, which was a very sudden onset of a debilitating migraine. It was almost like a spike drilled into my head, and my neck and back muscles seized up, and I was nauseous, and I was dizzy and confused. Went to the doctor, and my blood pressure was really high, but he thought it was just due to all the stress and change going on in our lives at the time. So I went off with instructions to just monitor my blood pressure nightly, and if it was still high, I'd have to come back in, and we'd have to figure out a plan of attack. Well, I never got the chance to actually come back and see him because on one particular day when I had been suffering one of my debilitating migraines after that, vomiting, not feeling well, I collapsed unconscious on the bathroom floor. Mm. And luckily, my husband had decided to come home from work early that day and work from home. So he was there to immediately call 911, which was what saved my life. And
thank God. You know, so many people don't have that opportunity.
I know.
You were so blessed.
Exactly. And, you know, 40% of people who have a brain aneurysm rupture will die.
Yeah.
So immediate action is key when you have that kind of stroke. So it turned out I had a ruptured brain aneurysm that went undetected. They performed some emergency surgery, and I was in the hospital about 6 weeks. I had inpatient rehab. I did outpatient rehab. And slowly, you know, just got back into my life and my work again, and then ultimately wrote this book to get this information out to people, all the things that we learned that we didn't know before.
And what are some of those? And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm here with Sean and Tom, and we're talking with Maria Ross. We're talking about, her journey. She's sharing it with us. Rebooting My Brain is her book, How a Freak Aneurysm Reframed My Life. You know what's interesting, and I mean, we haven't even got there yet, but sometimes, you know, people get cancer. Sometimes people get, my husband had 11 brain surgeries. I have been paralyzed from valley fever and meningitis. There's things in our lives that we don't know why they happen or what happens to us, but you know, if you're not learning from them,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of takes us on a different journey. How has that helped you?
Well, and this is what I really talked about in the book, besides just trying to educate people on the unseen effects of brain injury, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. But it's really a book about bouncing back from crisis. And I had what, you know, my doctors called a miraculous recovery, because 4 out of 7 people that have what I had have permanent disabilities. And I have effects that I deal with on a daily basis, and I've learned to adapt around them. And that was one of the biggest things I learned, is that you know, I've never had a why me attitude in my whole life because I just find that fruitless and unproductive. Because why not you, right?
I love you. I love you already. I really, I do. I'm serious. There's so many people.
And you know, it is about, you've just got to deal with what's in front of you. You've got to educate yourself as much as possible. And then you adapt, you evolve, you overcome. Now, it's not as easy as I'm making it sound.
But what are the three keys? You attribute to three keys for amazing recovery. What are they?
Well, the first thing for me was practicing patience, which you can't see me right now, but I'm a redhead and I'm Italian. So I don't have that word in my vocabulary.
Okay.
But I had to learn that patience is not about stagnation. It's about small steps of progress every day. And once I stopped trying to make these giant leaps, for example, I was acting like I had the flu, and I was just going to, I'm just going to get back to work in a couple weeks, and everything would be fine. And all my doctors and psychologists were saying, she just doesn't realize the severity of what happened to her. And it was true. I had to learn patience. I had to learn that small steps, as long as the upward trajectory is going in the right direction, that's what really matters to help you get to your goals.
So moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Try to practice patience and don't think you're going to go from 0 to 60 overnight, no matter what your crisis in your life.
Okay.
You know, for me, it was brain aneurysm, but other people have others that they're dealing with.
Okay.
The second one was acceptance, which we kind of just talked about. And I was my own worst enemy at the beginning of my recovery because I kept trying to get back to the old baseline again. And these are things I used to be able to do, and I used to be able to do them this way, and why can't I do them that way? Until finally I had this great therapist who sort of, you know, virtually slapped me and said, forget about the old you. It's about the new you. You have to look at the challenges in front of you now, accept them, and then figure out a way to get around them. Yeah, that was a really important lesson, that acceptance doesn't necessarily mean compromise. It means being realistic.
Well, you know, I mean, even if we look at it, I just read something on Facebook or I don't know, somewhere. Are you the same person you were a year ago? No. Are you, you know what I mean? None of us are. Mm-hmm. You know,
no.
Yes. Without crisis.
Without
occurring.
Crisis.
Yeah, we're still
exactly.
Evolving and
yeah. So
exactly.
With that being said, that's what, you know, every day we wake up, we're blessed for what we have. And we work through our day. That's literally all.
And Maria, one of the statistics I'm reading here is from the Department of Veteran Affairs, 22% of all the injuries from troops returning from Afghanistan or Iraq are brain injuries. And every 45 seconds, someone suffers from a stroke. So this is afflicting people all constantly, and they're constantly in need of guidance on how to deal with these sorts of things. What are sort of like the day-to-day realistic type of steps besides being patient? What are like real-world type things they can do to sort of...
Absolutely. And you know, I just want to put out there, of course, that I'm not a medical doctor, but I've done a lot of research for the book, and just from my own experience, I mean, that's the hardest thing with brain injury is people look at you and go, well, you look fine. So,
do you know that was the hardest thing for my husband and I? Because even the doctor said if he was in a wheelchair, you would be so much nicer to him, right?
Yeah.
I know, and I'm serious. And
exactly.
Then, yeah, so because there would be times that we would be like totally normal, and he'd be like kind of look at me and go, what did you just say? And I'd be like, you know, really? You know, I get really frustrated, and then I would be like, oh, God, okay, I really got it, you know? So it is. I mean, we don't. Same thing when people come back from, you know, the war and
exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly. And, you know, to the question about, you know, some specifics, I mean, I was in rehab with people that had a variety of brain injuries, not just brain aneurysm, and the effects are often the same. And if you know anyone who's had a stroke, this might sound familiar and maybe explain some of their behavior, but things can range like one of my most common effects has been overwhelm. It's sort of like the processing filter in my brain got broken. And in the book, I liken it to a really bad bouncer at a club. He's not kicking out all the people. They're all just kind of running rampant. And so you really get overwhelmed by too much information, too much stimuli coming at you at one time. And that can either paralyze you, that can make you irritable, that can make you confused and unhappy. Depression is a huge effect of brain injury that people don't know about. There's things like irritability, especially if you've known someone that has a stroke. Sometimes if it's a frontal lobe stroke, things like irritability and irrationality can come into effect, and people don't know why that's happening to them. They know that they're getting angry, and they know they're getting irritable, and they're sort of a short fuse, but they don't understand why, and it's because they don't have the information about brain injury.
And I could imagine it's tough for your friends and family because it's such an internalized sort of symptom. It's not really...
Absolutely.
So how do you dealing with or communicating with your friends and family change?
Yeah, do you have children?
Well, I was very fortunate, and that's why I wrote the book, in that my friends and family educated themselves. And unfortunately, when I was in rehab, I saw a lot of people whose lives were ripped apart because their friends and family hadn't done their homework.
And so do you have children, Maria?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We have a dog.
Okay.
He's our four-legged child.
Okay, that's okay. But your husband was obviously so supportive and by your side, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have asked for... I mean, not only did he literally save my life, but he just he's very analytical, and he approached it with, well, here's the information, and here's what we need to do, and just very caring and emotionally supportive.
Wow, you are very, very blessed, I have to tell you, because a lot of people get frustrated, and then their marriages start to, you know, their communication breaks down, and so you're very, very lucky.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, that's why I wrote the book, because I saw people in rehab whose marriages were disintegrating, their friendships were breaking apart, because people didn't understand why they were different now, because, again, they couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. I'm a hair therapist, and I think back of this one girl that I used to do her hair. And she was a model for me. She did a lot of, I had pictures of her all over my salon, and she was driving one day, and she fell down in a ditch in her car, and brain injury. Oh. I mean, but so severe, she was not the same. She couldn't even really leave the house. And I could see the frustration, you know, of all the surgeries that she had. But I would go over there and do her hair and try to make her feel better. But their whole family was distraught, you know?
Right, right. So. And often, you know, again, why I was convinced to finally write the book is many people that suffer from brain injury can't articulate because some of their communication skills have been impacted. So I've gotten emails and letters from people saying, thank you for articulating what I was not able to articulate to my family about what I'm going through.
Yeah.
I had one woman who actually took my book to work with her and read passages to her coworkers to explain some of her behaviors, because she thought, I didn't have the capacity to find the right word to communicate what that was. And it's almost like you've given a voice to people that don't always have a voice, which, you know, of course, just made it all worthwhile.
And I think that that's really true for really any situation. If you've gone through it and you feel like, you know, thank God you're a winner on this end, why not give back and help people that don't know why they're going through it and can't communicate? So I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at an experience like this, and I'm not necessarily kind of a woo-woo type person, but you do at a certain point in your recovery say, well, why was I given a second chance?
Mm-hmm.
And what gifts do I still have? And that's sort of my message when I talk to groups is take any crisis or any everyday evolution that you have and try to figure out what are the lessons you can learn from it and what can you do with that information to help make someone else's life better.
I love it. You know, it just goes back to Frank Sinatra, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on. Because I'm telling you, that's what I grew up with my dad saying. I'd be like, it's a little, every time, you know, it's a little rough. I've lost a baby. But you know what?
Yep.
This is something that I talk about too, Maria, is, and that's, I really believe that's why I have my show, is to just give people strength that every day is not going to be perfect. There is no perfect, you know, and that, you know, literally pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on, and feel blessed that you have another day.
Now, this
I like to tell people, hopefully I can help them avoid having a brain aneurysm, to learn some of these lessons.
So what are, I mean, is there signs that we should know about?
Well, according to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation, yeah, there's a few. There's things like, you know, obviously if you get a very sudden severe headache, you know, things like dilated pupils or double vision, or, you know, standard stroke symptoms like drooping eyelids or pain above or behind the eye. And then if it's ruptured, you know, like what happened in my case, nausea and vomiting, a stiff neck, blurred vision, sensitivity to light, especially if you're having seizures, obviously. But, you know, my primary care physician misdiagnosed it, and that happens actually more often than we'd like to think.
I'm sure.
And so you really need to be an advocate for your own health. And if you know this is not right and this is not like a normal headache, I mean, mine was literally the worst headache I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
And I was told that if I'd actually gone to the emergency room with those symptoms rather than my doctor, I would have immediately been given a scan.
And they could have seen it then, yeah.
A lot of it's about educating primary care doctors on the symptoms of aneurysms and unruptured aneurysms and brain tumors and things like that. I do a lot of work with the Bay Area Brain Injury Network because of my experience trying to help educate medical professionals.
Yeah, well, I love what you're doing. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. Again, for anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Maria Ross, we're talking about does a brain injury change who you are? What's your thought on that? Does it change who you are?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I kind of posed that question in the book of, you know, does your brain determine your personality, or is your personality something more innate that impacts the way your brain develops? Because when you get a jolt to your brain like this, it does impact certain things. You know, some people that used to be good with numbers are not good with numbers anymore. Some people that are extroverted turn introverted. And so what does it mean to define who you are? And really where I've landed up about it is it doesn't really matter if you are defining yourself by things that are unchangeable. So often we define ourselves by our profession or our role in relationship to other people, or like I said, we're a people person or we're good with numbers, but are those really the things that make us who we are? And I came to the conclusion that the things that got me through my recovery, so my stubbornness, my moxie, my sense of humor, which having a sense of humor in crisis is the third key to bouncing back from
it. Oh, yeah, we didn't get it. Okay, that's a good one, yeah.
But, you know, those things hadn't changed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe I'm not as good at multitasking anymore. Maybe I can't manage a complex project the way I used to. Maybe I'm not as good with names anymore. But did those things really define me?
No.
No.
Oh, I love this, Maria. Very cool. Very cool. You know, where can somebody go to find out more about you?
Well, my main site, which is my business, is red-slice.com.
And what does that mean? What is that? What do you do?
Red Slice is a brand. I'm a branding and marketing consultant.
Oh.
So I work for myself, and I work with solo entrepreneurs and small businesses. And working for myself was great after brain injury because I was able to manage my own workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really great and kind of getting back on my feet again. But they can also go to the book website, which has a lot of information and also some resources for recovery from brain injury. It's rebootingmybrain.com.
Okay, very cool. Well, thank you so much, Maria Ross. Again, Rebooting My Brain and How a Freak Aneurysm Reframed Her Life. So, thank you for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. And continue the amazing, recovery and your journey. You know, I think that when things like that happen, it's not like our life ends, which thank God yours didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you just look at life a little bit different now. And you're probably more blessed that you're here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I still have my days. I tell everyone I'm not some Zen master
now. Well, I'm glad that you, yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. But you know what? Even if this didn't happen, I'm sure you still had your days, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
We all
so,
do.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks again.
All right. Well, good guess.
Yeah, that was fascinating. And one of the things she said was just you take for granted we do have these self-identifying qualities, like I'm a doctor, or the roles we play that can change it at a moment's notice.
She forced
her to look at her real essence, her real core. So it was fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting when you look at it, just different things that happen in our lives, you know. It's kind of fingerprint of our lives, right? Well, I do want to recap of who we talked to today, Dr. Joel Furman. You know, I really talked about salad is your main dish, you know, how important raw vegetable is. And that,
yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to have more color on my plate and less meat. So
and something he said, it's about ratios. It's we need to get more to where we're eating more vegetables. And I've been saying this for like, I'm like a broken record player. So hearing him, like a qualified doctor, is like, yes, yeah. You get justified by that. But yeah, turning it to like an 80-90% vegetables diet is tough for people too, though, because they think a meal starts with the protein.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is like last night I did artichoke. Tons of vegetables from our vegetable, mm-hmm. you know, from our farms here, mm-hmm. And then a little bit of what was our meat? Pork chop. You know, yeah. Like a little pork chop.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't realize the little savory part can just be great because you eat that satisfied, but yet you're filling up on the heavy nutrient foods.
There you go. Also, we had Nancy Gagliardi from Weight Watchers and the Ultimate Cookbook. So, and again, Maria Ross. And so, thank you so much for joining. If you missed any part of our show, it's all downloaded on KimPaganoShow.com. And like us on Facebook. I put it there too for all your convenience. And if you have anything in the 805 that you want to spread the word about, give me a call at 805-419-0008 or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow. Let me end the show with a moment of happiness, and don't ever forget for even a day how very special you are. With that, I'll talk to you later.
Now nothing's impossible. I have found, for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you